guys. I'm Heather, and I'm the oldest. She's the emotional one.
Is it Bruce Dickinson?
Man, why? I mean, like, you haven't even read the list. You're like, Heather.
Hey, guys, I'm Ben. I'm the middle child.
And he's the practical one.
What I need you to understand is that you have lost all credibility when we get to the cutting stage.
Why?
Kenny Chesney was your second pick.
I'm Beth, and I'm the baby.
She's also the swing vote.
My picks are great. And if you don't believe it, just ask me. I won't argue with you because I'm mature.
Together, we make the Music List Podcast. Welcome back to the Music List Podcast. I thought I was going to have to poke Beth over there. I don't know if she was asleep or dead.
No, I was just...
Spoiler alert.
No. I was just getting in the zone.
I remember one time I was over at the side. Oh, my name's Ben. With me are my sisters, Heather and Beth. We're siblings that argue while making music lists. That's the stick. That's what we do. It reminded me of... I was over visiting Memo and Pepaw when they were at the crossing, and Mamaw was asleep, and I mean, she was asleep. Like, her mouth was hanging open, wide, and she couldn't be, she was not to be wakened. She was like, we were saying, Mamaw, and her name was Ivy Mae, but Peppa called her Ivy Mae. Ivy Mae? Ivy Mae? And she wasn't answering. Peppa picked up his cane and was poking her and said, Ivy, are you dead? And she snapped at him. What?
Oh, my gosh. But
it's sad because you can see the panic on Peppa's face. Oh. I mean, it was like he was, are you dead? Oh, boy.
Man.
No, she was just taking a nice nap. Welcome to fall, everybody. So it's we're now into November. Fall leaves. It's kind of the theme, but not leaves. But leaving. Do you see the transition? You see what we did there? Mm-hmm. So in honor of fall leaves.
This all sounded like a much better idea when we first came up with it.
In honor of fall leaves. All of the songs, this is going to be the best leaving songs. Wah, 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 wah. We got that somewhere. Yeah, there.
Anyway.
Yeah, there it is. Sad trombone. So all the songs that we mentioned today are going to be about leaving. But before we do that, we've got some business to take care of.
Okay.
First of all, we want you to know that we have social media accounts. We would love for you to see us on the social media accounts and contact us and interact with us. Facebook, we're the Music List Podcast. We also have a group that's just called the Music List. You're obviously more than welcome and invited to join both. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram, TikTok, kind of, sort of. But we do have a comment callback. This is a call. Isn't that what we're calling it?
I think we called it a call out last.
We haven't really nailed this. We've got a comment call out. We always love it when people interact with us on social media, and so we're going to just kind of highlight throughout the past some of our favorite comments. And so, Beth, you going to read this one?
Yeah, sure.
Fantastic.
So this one is from our September 27th, 2023 episode. It was the Beatles later years. So we did two Beatles episodes, one early Beatles, one later Beatles. And this comment was from our friend and listener, David Hamrick. He says, so...
Who's actually quite the musician himself.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Very great, very good musician. His son, too, played drums with us a few Sundays ago. He's like only in ninth grade. Very good. Like, not good for a ninth grader, just like good. So David said, so I re-listened to Eleanor Rigby and then followed it up with the thong song. Yeah, I hear it. So if you don't know what that's about and you're like, how are those two things connected? You should go listen to that episode.
Beatles, the later years.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
All right. Thanks, David. And David comments pretty regularly on our stuff. So glad to have him listening. And he's one you got to take into consideration when he says something, for sure, because he's pretty good musician. So he definitely carries some weight. So we're going to do leaving songs. We talked a little bit about it and texted back and forth about what the rules were, and we decided that they did not have to have leaving, left, blah, blah, blah. Specifically, they just had to be songs about leaving something. I'm the overachiever, and I decided that the song should have leaving or left or something in there somewhere. So all of mine, now not necessarily in the title, but somewhere in the lyrics, those words will appear. So I don't really think we need to get into a whole lot of, like, what were we looking for? We're looking for good songs that are about leaving.
I know. I like to put songs like lots of songs are about leaving. You know, we listened to where we had the Kiss episode a few weeks ago.
Yep.
You know what my favorite one, the Kiss song about leaving is? Oh, no. Leaves are falling. We also like to rewrite songs here on the... Oh, my gosh. Come on.
But you didn't do my harmony, my favorite harmony part.
You didn't join us. You should have.
Oh, let's try.
But I didn't know y'all were going to say leaves. Y'all said leaves, and it, like, totally threw me off.
Yeah, no. That was one. Yeah.
All right. You want to try? I can do this. I think I can do this.
Ready? Oh, no. Leaves are falling.
There we go.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah. That's fantastic. That was loud.
That was terrible.
Yeah,
it was loud. And not good.
No. No, I mean, no, it wasn't your element that made it bad. It was good.
No, ours, just the two of us, was pretty bad, too.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Leaves are falling. Love it. Love.
Why is it whenever you like a recreation, so you're always like,
leaves are falling.
What is that?
He didn't do
If
your,
you're going to do something, you got to commit.
He didn't do your Dr. Thunder song like that, though.
Oh, God.
You did a good Gene Simmons on that one.
Yeah, so
you gotta be familiar with your Walmart brand. So, like,
on the Kiss episode, I'm coughing because I'm laughing, which was two episodes back, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So about a month ago, we did the Best of Kiss, and God of Thunder,
yeah,
was selected and made the top five.
Well, don't spoil it.
I should have listened to it by now. It's a month old.
Maybe, but, you know.
Okay. God of Thunder was selected, and maybe it made the top five. Maybe it did. But, you know, it's the God of Thunder, which is Gene Simmons. Well, if you are familiar with the Walmart brands.
Times are tough.
With the Walmart brands of.
Elections have consequences, yeah. Everyone.
With the Walmart brands of soft drink, or as some people like to call it, pop.
Nobody in the South calls it pop.
Maybe
we
soda.
Have listeners all over the globe.
That's true.
I wonder what they call it in the Philippines.
I don't know.
They should tell us. Let us know.
But their version of Dr. Pepper is called Dr. Thunder. And so... I grabbed the Dr. Thunder and bottle and said, Dr. Thunder. Yeah.
And Tootsie Roll.
Yeah, I thought it would be good. Because we were leading up to Halloween in October, and I was like, and Tootsie Roll.
He did again.
Roll. It's mouth shaping to change the vowel.
Roll.
Roll. I don't even know if I can do it without doing it.
Diet Dr. Thunder tastes just like Diet Dr. Pepper to me.
pretty good.
So
it's a good offering.
Anyway,
for a dollar.
We're thinking about maybe
doing. We're sponsored by Walmart.
We need to do it. We need to do a full
Arkansas
blown
brand.
A full blown Weird Al style parody.
Yeah.
Of Dr. Thunder.
I used to have
and Tootsie
one.
Rolls.
For a, yeah, let's do it. Where we just go round robin and we just make up our own little parody lines.
Oh, we could do that.
I got to bring back my Creed one.
Oh God, yeah, that was
from many, many moons ago. Yeah. But I'll save it.
Okay. You made up on your own?
I did. I don't know.
She was like probably eight or nine.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh my God.
What was that?
Oh my God. I can't.
What just happened?
I can't let it pass. Like, you know when stuff happens and you're like, it's good.
I don't even know what the big deal is.
I'm just going to let that slide and not say anything because we're not on video, so nobody has to know.
I'll say what happened. I just don't know what the problem is.
Did spit nodule that hang out your mouth?
That wasn't spit.
What?
That was ice.
No.
Yes, it was.
Watch. No.
I will recreate.
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
You see it? You saw it hanging?
I know.
The little dangler?
It's ice.
Brother.
It's my cup. My spit's already in my mouth.
All right.
What? Oh, God.
No. Okay.
Okay.
Y'all ready to get to the song picks?
Yeah, let's do it.
In case you have not listened to us before, we're each going to draft three songs that have to do with leaving. That will give us a total of nine. We'll snake the draft. So Beth, Heather, then me. And then in the second round, I'll lead, then Heather, then Beth, and then Beth, Heather, me. And then that'll give us nine songs. We'll have a round called the 9-to-5 round where we cut it to five, and then we'll try to rank those five. So, Beth, you get the first pick on leaving songs.
I missed the – sorry. I usually write this down. What was the
Beth,
order?
Beth, Heather, Ben.
Okay, thank you. And now I shall go.
All right. My first pick is Goodbye.
Ah, Hans Briggs. It reminds me of from Team America.
Oh, no.
Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road by Elton John. You should have listened to my own mind. You know you can't hold me forever. I didn't sign up with you. I'm not a present for your friends to open. This boy's too young to be a singer. This was released in 1973. It is the titular song on the album Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
The what song?
The titular song.
Okay.
Mark, that's what Mark always, and if there's a movie and we're watching it and there's a titular line, they say the movie goes every time. Titular line. just because he likes to say that. And also the word deuce. Deuce makes him laugh, so I'm sure he will have enjoyed the Kiss episode. Anyway, are you okay?
Me?
Is it your headache?
Yes.
Okay. Not like, okay, here we go. Keep going.
Carry on.
All right. And some consider this a contender for Elton John's finest song ever, which is a big statement because he has a lot of great songs, obviously. It's certified two times platinum. And the narrator wants to leave Oz and get back to the farm. So leaving the crazy life of success and getting back to simplicity. So exploring that complexity of leaving, this life of materialism, dissatisfaction. Obviously, the reference to the Wizard of Oz, the road symbolizing the journey towards success and fame. It's really superficial fantasy with an idealized future. So leaving that, lost my page now. So leaving that is a rejection of this, and he realizes there's no place like home, if you catch my drift, and desires to return to simpler, more authentic existence. And so in leaving, there's the complexity of that emotion. It says, you know, maybe you'll get a replacement. There's plenty like me. And finding your identity and realizing that, maybe realizing some unpretty things about yourself, that you were maybe chasing something that you don't like who you were becoming, even if it means abandoning certain dreams or people and balancing a regret, but also with empowerment. I'm making this decision to take my life into my own hands. But there's also a sadness in saying goodbye. So there's clarity and freedom in leaving this life that no longer aligns with your values. And not necessarily that it's not a one-to-one comparison, but I kind of can relate to that when I left teaching, because it was something that I had worked toward for a long time. You're going through college and then spending some years doing that, and it just wasn't what, you know, I had imagined it to be or what I thought it was. And I realized that down the road I was not going to be satisfied if I stayed on this path. So I can kind of relate to that. It was bittersweet, because I did love some elements of what I was doing, but overall knew that it was best for me to leave that. So it has some it's relatable. It's a kind of a universal feeling. People can easily relate to that.
Yes.
That's all I have to say. That was kind of a downer, but
it is a downer. Yeah. Well, it's beautiful.
The song's about leaving, so you can generally make, I think you can make a pretty good guess. Some of these are not going to be super happy.
Right.
All right. Yeah, that's true. Is it my turn?
Yes.
Yes, it's your turn.
And scene.
My first pick is from 1969 off the album Led Zeppelin, Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You.
Chicago.
We'll get to that. So I picked that spot.
A woman, it's good to have you back again, and I know that one day, baby, it's gonna really grow, yes it is.
Okay, so what I did not know was the first published recording of this was actually in 1962 by Joan Baez.
Mm.
And I think how it's credited to Led Zeppelin is when they have the writing credit out to the side, it says traditional arranged Jimmy Page. So if you know, if you're familiar with any of Joan Baez's work, you know, it's very folksy, you can hear the folk elements in this. This is a song about a narrator wanting the opposite of what he's about to do. He knows he has to leave. He's going to leave. He's conflicted about it. And in the music, you hear that alternate between this sweet, melodic, mournful section, and then it gets almost manic sometimes. And I think that suggests the conflict
that he has in saying, okay, you know, and you have this resolve and I'm going to do it. And then the sadness that you feel. So that's a very popular chord progression back in, in around the 1968-1969 time frame. Chicago's 25 or 6 to 4 has the exact same walk down chord progression. While My Guitar Gently Weeps has the same chord progression. Sometimes the song is, you know, there's a lot of finger picking. Sometimes it's got that chug to it. And so Jimmy Page becomes as much of a character in the story, you know, with how he changes the mood of everything as much as Robert Plant's vocals. I love the way that it just, there's so much emotion, so many highs and lows in the vocal. So, babe, I'm gonna leave you if we want to stay on.
You know, they also do a lot of songs about Vikings.
They do, and Lord of the Rings.
Which, you know, they have to leave in order to do the raids and whatnot. But also, what's your favorite Viking? That could fit in with
Leif Erikson.
Yeah. Oh,
Leif Erikson.
Yeah.
How about them apples?
Okay. Thanks.
See how you brought
where
it all
in the world
there?
Is we're where in time is Carmen Sandiego. Yeah.
And apples also very fall based fruit.
All of the fall desserts.
Uh-huh.
It's true.
It's a good fall flavor.
True.
Apple or pumpkin?
Apple. All day, every day.
For a fall flavor.
I'm probably apple. I love apple cobbler. Love apple cobbler. And the apple dumpling that Miss Margaret makes on Friday nights. Oh, my gosh. For football games. Oh. Oh, it's so good.
What do you prefer?
Are they the one with the crescent rolls?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mom makes those too. They're good. Like, do you...
So good.
Apple pie?
I prefer... So, you know, there's always the big debate, apple cobbler or peach cobbler. I like apple. Because I really like cinnamon. Usually, when you have an apple dessert, cinnamon accompanies it.
Mm-hmm.
So, whereas, like, Karo syrup is what accompanies peach. It's just really sweet, really
so
sweet.
So, you prefer cobbler to pie?
Wonder what kind of pie.
Yeah, it depends.
I prefer apple cobbler over apple pie, but like I love like pecan pie though.
Mm-hmm.
So apples and pecans, you know, it's like apples and oranges. Except pecans aren't fruit.
Right. So they're actually very different things.
But they both grow on trees.
Them. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They're both food.
Yeah. All right, it's my spin. Anyway.
Wow. This got weird.
It did. And this is one that I know that you guys are probably going to poo-poo a little bit. But.
Deuce, if you will.
One of my favorite country music stars of all time is Merle Haggard. And the song is Silver Wings.
Silver wings shining in the sunlight, roaring engines headed somewhere in flight. They're taking you away, leaving me lonely. Silver wings, slowly fading out of sight.
There's the...
Don't leave me, I cry. left me standing here behind.
All right, so this, what makes Merle Haggard so good, in my opinion, as a songwriter, is his ability to create a theme and present it in a number of different ways. And so you have this, the physical leaving of her leaving on the airplane. You've got the emotional leaving, the metaphorical leaving. She's left him in the relationship. But what he also does is, like, in the verse, in the first verse, it's almost like he's not grounded in reality, because he's at first he doesn't want to admit that she is willfully going. He's saying the airplane is taking her away, but when in reality we know she bought the ticket, she got on the plane, she left on purpose, and so then he kind of. When they get to the chorus, he says, "Don't leave me, I cried. Don't take that." Then it's like the realization is hit. She's made this decision to get on the plane. And then there's multiple versions of Silver Wings that he does. The first one, it's got, like, when he's younger, on the original, it's got these background singers, and it's just, I feel like Merle Haggard's voice got better the older he got. I feel like it got more emotional. There was a little bit of grit there. I think that he even got, one of the things you got to remember about Merle Haggard is he got into the music business relatively late, because he didn't even know he wanted to be a music singer until he was in prison and he heard Johnny Cash at San Quentin. So he was a bona fide adult before he made the decision that he wanted to learn how to play the guitar and do all these things, much less start writing songs. So the older he got, the more advanced his songwriting got, and how much better he got at the actual delivery of the song. So for me, part of it obviously is that I am a huge Merle Haggard fan, but I do like the way that this particular song outlines multiple layers of leaving, both in the physical sense and in the metaphorical sense. And I think it really highlights Merle Haggard's ability to write a tearjerker, because it's a sad song.
He has lots of sad songs.
Yeah. He does. I get to pick again?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
What to pick?
What do you mean, what to pick?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what I want to pick.
It's predetermined.
Shh.
It's like wrestling.
It's not fake.
It's not predetermined. Fake, it's
predetermined. We're going to go a different genre.
Okay.
Now, this one I think is a contender, a real contender to be in the top five. Gladys Knight and the Pips, Midnight Train to Georgia.
Yeah. Said he's going back.
Going back
to a simpler place and time. Oh, yes, he is.
So the first thing that I noticed really are, I guess it would be the Pips. Their harmonies are incredible. Mm-hmm. I love the woo-woo to simulate the train, you know. But as far as the storytelling, we've got the, I don't know if it's a spouse or if it's a girlfriend or lover, but the guy didn't make it. He went out to Hollywood, went out to L.A. to try to make it as an entertainer, didn't make it. He's only going to go on that midnight train. He's going to go back to a life of what normal people do. And so this is about the woman in his life saying that I'm going to go with him. I'm going to give up all these dreams and aspirations that we had together because I would rather be with him in an ordinary kind of life than to try to make it and be famous out here. And, you know, I don't listen to a lot of Gladys Knight, but when I do, I'm reminded every time how good she is.
Yeah.
I mean, just really, really good. It's just a great, great song that obviously full of R&B elements, soul elements, even like some gospel elements in there. But I love harmonies, and I think they're just really, really good. And again, I think that it's a song that has stood the test of time. It's just a great all around song, because I think a lot of us in at some point in a relationship with somebody, I think you're going to have to sacrifice something that you like in order for the relationship to work, you know? And so in this case, he's given up on the dream, I guess, of being a star, whether that's an entertainer or a movie star or whatever, and he's just going to go back to Georgia. You kind of get the vibe that the narrator of the song, or that guy's wife or girlfriend, is not ready to give up on that dream, but willing to in order for the relationship to stay together. And so, like, even though it may not be that dramatic in our lives, at some point, in order for the relationship to work, you're going to have to give something up, you know? And so that is a universal theme that I think everybody can relate to. So there's that universal ability of people to empathize with really both parties in the song. So that's my selection. He's Leaving, Midnight Train to Georgia.
I like it. Okay. I kind of wish that I had made this my top choice, but I didn't. But it is from 2020. The album Evermore, it's T Swift. It's called Right Where You Left Me.
Help, I'm still at the restaurant, still sitting in a corner I haunt, cross-legged in the dim light. They say, what a sad sight. I swear you could hear a hairpin drop right when I felt the moment stop. Shattered on the white cloth, everybody moved on. I stayed there, dust collected on my pinned up hair. They expected me to find somewhere, some perspective, but I sat and stared right where.
Who experiences a breakup, which is not unusual in a Taylor Swift song, but this is different. It's more haunting, and it's she can't move on. Everybody else moves on, and it's like in that moment of a traumatic loss, she just kind of died right there, and everybody else's life went on. His life went on, all the people around, and she's like,
help. I'm stuck in the restaurant. Like she and the imagery of dust collected in my pinned up hair. Like it makes me sad. But I mean, just that she can't, she's stuck. She's just stuck. And I think honestly, and it's strange with the music being like it is, it's kind of this folksy country, almost mid-tempo song, but the subject matter is just so sad, you know, and that, you know, she said, I know that you've got a wife out there, kids and Christmas, and I'm just cross-legged in at this table, just a ghost, because I can't move on. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. You know, something happens, some kind of loss or, you know, trauma, and you just are stuck in that place and can't move on. And it seems like the whole, I remember when Dad died and I got back, it was the first day I'd gotten back from the funeral and all that stuff back to my house. And I had to go to Walmart. And oh God, Walmart. Anyway, Dr. Thunder prices, you know, aside, you know, I hate going to Walmart. And it was like these people kept, you know, like, they're just getting in your way. They're standing in front of you. They're going about their lives, you know, trying to get beanie weenies off the shelf or whatever. And there you can't get through. And life is, you know, I remember thinking, and this is just, you know, I mean, it's just grief. You know, it's just like, what is wrong with you? I buried my dad yesterday. Why can't you get out of my way? Can't you, you know, I mean, like, you're stuck, and your whole life is this, you know, this tiny little area, and everybody else is just going about their life, doing their thing, like, yeah. You know, but at some point that's going to happen to all of us at different times. But I mean, this particular incident for her, when he, you know, she, like, you see the, in your mind's eye, you see the glass shatter, and it's just like, that was the screeching halt, and he got up, left, went on about his life, and she just sat there while dust collected on her.
Hope it was a Waffle House.
She's got good tunes to listen to on that.
Because Waffle House doesn't close. And they're open on Thanksgiving and Christmas.
That's true. That's true. And the play on words, you left me. You left me no choice but to stay here forever. And so it's not even that was just something she did. It's just like she literally was stuck there. So I think it's really, I mean, girl can write a catchy song. And I think she did a bang up job with the lyrical and the imagery in this song.
All right.
You want to lighten it up a little bit? We talked about a lot of our songs might be sad or whatever, and you can leave a lot of things, right? You can leave a bad relationship. Mm-hmm. You could leave a dream behind. You could leave a job. And that's what this person did.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left, took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door.
How expensive was this woman?
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Boom, 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 boom.
I've been working in this factory for now 15 years. All this time I watched my woman drowning in a pool of tears. And I've seen a lot of good folk die, had a lot of bills to pay. I'd give the shirt right off of my back if I had the guts to say, take this job and shove it. I ain't working.
This was written by your boy, David Allan Coe.
Oh, yeah.
And popularized by Johnny Paycheck. So this is a working class anthem. And the cool thing about this song is that he's wanting to leave his job. And he says his woman left, so it's a twofer. These folks leaving all over the place.
Have you seen the size of Johnny Paycheck's hat?
Yes, it is
incredible. Massive.
It's like the man in the big yellow hat from Curious George.
The brim on that thing,
yeah.
You could run the Kentucky Derby around that thing. It's massive.
Yeah, it's big. It's about a guy who has worked long and hard with no reward, and he's become bitter, and his woman done left. And so this narrator is unfulfilled by by his job, and it taps into that desire to be rebellious. I think we've all had those moments, at least the days, where you're like, you can take this job and shove it. Like, you look at somebody has sent you over the edge, and it's just the straw that broke the camel's back, and you're ready to let everybody know.
But there ain't nothing like quitting a job that you hate.
I've never I've been fortunate that I've never had a job that I would have actually done this to the people I worked with, right? Because there are a lot of ramifications when you do this kind of thing. It's not good to your coworkers. It's not good to your boss. You know, I've not had a boss or a situation bad enough where I would have actually done this. I don't think.
But I finished my shift once, but I did not.
The time you worked a day?
Yeah.
At Willie's home plate?
No, I wasn't going to mention the establishment.
The establishment doesn't even exist anymore.
That's true. No, I was employed there for 10 days. And
did you make it 10 days?
Yeah, well, I worked seven of those. Yeah, I was employed 10 days. I worked 7 of those 10 days, and it was rough.
I didn't think you made it past your first shift.
No, I did. I did, but then I found another job.
And
I came in. And I said,
"Is that lady still alive?"
Yes.
Whoops. Okay.
Nobody tell her.
Gosh.
Does she have a sense of humor about?
No,
obviously not.
Well, she's not listening to the podcast.
Yeah, because we were nominated for the best podcast.
This is a comedy podcast.
In Arkansas.
If you don't have a sense of humor, if you listen to us, you're one of the cool kids.
It was so bad. It was so bad that I was working the counter and my papa came up to drink coffee with some of his old man friends. And I rang up his coffee. And he's like, how you doing, darling? I'm like, please take me home. Oh, I'm crying. Help. Stuck in the rest. It was terrible.
Well, I would say that this, I don't know that you were there long enough.
I did not give
to
2 weeks notice.
Undervalued, overworked, or mistreated. Maybe mistreated.
No, all of those. All of those.
But you weren't there now 15 years.
Well,
listen, it was bad. I cried every day.
Oh my gosh. Well, I think we've all, you don't know my life.
You know what? How old were most of the people that worked there?
Same age.
Did any of them ever like, oh God, here comes Heather and she's going to start crying again?
I cried in the freezer. I didn't.
Did you come out, tears frozen to your cheeks? They didn't even get all the way down.
Tears are frozen.
No, okay, listen. I mean, it was I'm trying to be kind. No, listen. It was so bad that, you're taking the orders for a burger, right? I got yelled at because I wrote out mayo and I wrote out mustard instead of putting W for mustard because it's yellow and W for mayonnaise because it's white.
You mean a Y for mustard?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably because you can't even tell the color. That's probably why you got fired.
Instead of writing.
You didn't get fired. You quit. Sorry.
I did quit.
But maybe
today
that's
will
why
be my last day.
Well, you were not thriving there.
No, because I wrote out mayo and mustard instead of putting
the color.
The color. And that's.
So you use an R for ketchup?
I would have, yeah.
What do you do about tartar sauce?
Oh, because it's white.
Like, I had a full on, like.
What do you do for sour cream?
You don't put that on a burger.
If I ordered it and I'm the customer,
well, I guess I don't know. I guess you'd be screwed. I don't know what you'd end up with.
Customer's always right.
That's right. I made a strawberry milkshake, but nobody taught me how to use the machine or anything or how much of whatever to use. So I'm like, I don't know. I know that there's milk and strawberries and ice cream. So I just put it in the thing, but it was one of those metal.
Yeah.
You know.
Did it go all over the place?
All over.
Yes.
All over the drive-thru window, all over the cash register, all over me. Gosh. That was day one.
Oh, boy.
So you didn't know how to.
So let me tell you.
Ask anybody.
Let me tell you this story.
And I asked, but it was like just figured out.
Oh.
So I tried to figure it out.
So I'm.
Dang.
There may actually be people that listen to this podcast, this story. I just don't care. So when I was working at a fast food establishment, I worked in the back, and the guys all worked in the back in the kitchen, and the females all worked it up front, and they loaded the food into boxes and gave it. Okay. So they worked the register, and then they were responsible for letting us know when they were almost out of certain things, say mashed potatoes. Okay. So they would call it back, and they were supposed to say, please. This is a very important part of the story. This was the rule. Mm-hmm. They were to say, please.
Yeah.
Like, we need mashed potatoes, please. Okay. And then we would go, and we would make their mashed potatoes, and we would send them up. Okay. It's not what happened. What happened was one of the girls up front, who was a quote-unquote shift manager, but she was younger than me, you know, but she was just not the manager, but when the manager was in the dining room, she was in charge. She turns her head around the crest core and she says, we need mashed potatoes right now. And so one of the guys that was younger than me started walking to the mashed potatoes thing, and I held my hand out and I stopped him. No. No. And I look at her, the woman, the teenager that yelled it, and I said, you're going to have to say please. And she said, I am not. I said, then you are not going to get your mashed potatoes. And she said, we have customers waiting on mashed. They're waiting for you to say please. And she said, I'm going to get the manager. And I looked, you wait this out. So, because I was in charge of the kitchen at the time. I was, and so the manager comes up and she said, did they tell you we need mashed potatoes? I said, they did, almost just exactly like that. Why are you not making them? Because she was rude and she did not say please. And she said, you start making. Now, this person is, in fact, ahead of me on the hierarchy. You make those mashed potatoes right now. And I said, as soon as somebody says, please, I will make it myself. And she says, we don't have time for this to say, please. I've said it 7 times since we've had this conversation.
Oh, no.
Believe me, it does not take long to say the. And this kid's getting nervous, man. The kid I'm holding back, he's like, just make the potatoes. I'm like, no, we're not until they say please. I said, really, honestly, say please and we'll do it. You don't even have to say it nicely. So, please? Yes, of course you can have the mashed potatoes. And so,
oh, my God.
And so the owner, I guess, she said, I'm telling the owner. I was like, I'll tell the owner. I don't care. You know, we got policies. By God, we're going to follow them. You know, and here's the thing. Like, I wouldn't, little Roy D. Mercer, by God. But, like, I would not, even if she would have just said, hey, we're running short on mashed potatoes. Can we get some mashed potatoes? If you said it like that. I'm fine with that, but it was the root that, like, we don't keep up with whether or not you're almost out of mashed potatoes. Don't just yell it at me. Just say, mm-hmm. hey, we're out of mashed potatoes. Okay, we'll get on it. I mean, it wasn't the fact that they didn't say please. It was how they said it.
yeah.
And so once they came at me in such a way, now, by God, we're following the rules. Now we're following policy.
Yeah. Well, and what happened?
They said please, and we made the mashed potatoes. Well,
did they tell?
Yes, they did. I love the owner.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, and he's watched us grow up, you know. And he was like, now, Ben, did you refuse to make some mashed potatoes? I said, I did not refuse to make mashed potatoes. No, sir. No, sir. That is not correct. Anybody who told you I refuse to make mashed potatoes, what is this all about? I said, I was just making sure we were following company policy. You know, they were supposed to, as soon as they said please, like they were supposed to, we made it. And he was like, is this petty? Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But if they hadn't yelled at me in the first place, you know,
yeah,
like it was our fault that you weren't paying attention to the mashed potato pan until you're out. You know, that's your job. Your job. I should have yelled back, you're not watching the mashed potato pan. But I did not, you know.
Yeah.
I did not raise my voice. I was a smart aleck 100%.
That's almost 100%. Worse sometimes.
But I did not lose my cool.
Yeah.
Which really upsets people sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes. Yeah. Well, I've never been in a situation such as that. But I can tell you that if I ever win the lottery, these people will never see my face again.
There will be signs.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like I'm giving my 2 weeks. Here's a little heads up. There you go. Goodbye and good riddance to my life of walking into work Monday through Friday. So the song is defiant but humorous, right? It's you know, in good nature. You can sit there and now it's a cultural thing. You can take this job and shove it, or take, you know, now it's like also a saying for other stuff too. Like, you can take this job and fill it. Take this job and love it. Like, people change the words and stuff. Or you could say, like, take anything that's not good. Like, take this candy and shove it if you don't like it, or whatever. Something that's bad. And the song came out in the 70s when there were, like, labor strikes and calls for better working conditions. So it also was relevant to the working folks at the time. And so might be why it became so popular then, because people could really relate to it. And I do have a fun fact that I know someone who did somewhat of this thing. I'm not going to say, I don't know how much I can really say, but I can show you a photo because she...
That will not translate to the...
It won't. I can show y'all, but to the people at home, basically, one day... I am mixing up a little instant oatmeal at the counter at work. This girl walks up. She's like, how you doing? And I was like, pretty good. And this is how much I don't pay attention to my surroundings. Because she set down this cake. I thought she was sitting something down for all of us to share, which turns out it was. But she walked out and I looked over after she's already gone. It's a cake that says, I quit. And I was like, well, that's funny. I thought she was giving her like 2 week notice. And so I was like, oh man, she's taking another job. And I waited for her to come back.
She didn't come back.
She did not come back. She said that she came to work long enough to drop off the cake and then left the premises.
That's great.
Yeah. And it was like a little Walmart cake. She sent her team. She was in a different department than me. But she sent her team a Teams message that said, there's cake in the break room. They didn't know. And so one guy liked the message and walked in there and he saw it. And he promptly walked back and hit unclick the thumbs up. But it was super awkward. And she did it herself because she signed it in the icing. I won't say her name, but here I'll shove that down to you.
Huh. Oh wow,
that was me. That was me shoving my phone down. If you heard that noise,
I mean.
But yeah, and so nobody saw that one coming, especially her boss. So I have seen some. I have not done it myself, but I have seen someone take this job and shove it.
That's great.
They had to take a picture of that.
That's the person's name.
Yes. They had to take a picture of that to send to HR.
I like how they put all the sprinkles on just the queue.
Yeah. And these, like, the little poops around the side.
Oh, is that what those are?
Yeah.
Oh, like those thumbprint cookies in there? With the Hershey Kisses in them?
Yeah, so that was quite a day. I was good for nothing for the rest of the day because I was like, oh, my God. We're all like, did you hear what she did? So if I ever win the lottery, I will be that person for somebody else. You're welcome in advance for the memories I'm about to make for you.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. But anyway, jobs. Sorry, that took a turn.
That's okay.
But take this job and shove it.
How many Johnny Paycheck songs do y'all know?
That one.
That one.
No. Y'all know, don't take her now, friend. Don't take her. She's all I got. Yeah. Boom. That's him.
Nope. Okay.
The only hell my mama ever raised.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's him.
Okay.
Yeah, I still just know the one.
You should know. Somebody sang, don't take her, she's all I got. Somebody remade that in the 90s.
Yeah. Don't take the girl.
No.
That's what I know. I don't know this
one. Don't take her, she's all I got. I can't remember who redid that in the
90s. Yeah.
Couldn't tell you. Don't take her, Lord, away from me.
Oh, see, that's different than...
Y'all making fun of me?
Screw you guys.
I'm going to hang. Do you get him?
Oh gosh, I get another pick. I'm sitting here waiting. I'm like, dang, or is somebody else going to take it away? That's me. Okay, I'm gonna keep it country and go with "Bye Bye" by Jody Messina.
Oh.
Good there, standing in the doorway in the sunset light. Maybe I read you wrong, thinking you could be my Mr. Right. I was putting my heart and soul on the line. Said you needed some time, just a little more time to make up your mind. Well, it's been long enough.
This was her first number one single. It's certified gold. And unlike a lot of other songs about leaving a relationship, this one is about taking control. So it's not like, oh, I'm heartbroken, I'm sad, I'm sit here stuck. Kind of like the Taylor Swift one in a different situation. She's sitting here, the guy was not committing, and she just decided, I'm not waiting around anymore for you. I'm not devastated. I'm strong and I'm decisive. And I love me a strong lady song. It's just, I was raised with the Spice Girls and all the 90s country queens. So I love a song about a girl standing up for herself and being strong. And I love the line where she says, I've got pride. I'm taking it for a ride. I'm leaving. I'm respecting myself and you can do whatever you're going to do. She tried her best, but it's time to move on. And there's a sense of finality. She says, I'm never looking back. And then the video, she like tears off her rearview mirror and throws it on the road while she's going. And it's pretty straightforward as far as a leaving song goes. But I love Jody Messina. She's a great singer, and she has a lot of good leaving songs we've kind of talked about. There's Lesson in Leaving, Heads Carolina, Tails California. I'm sure she's got... I think she's got some other ones, but she has a really good, like, her vocal delivery is authentic, it's genuine, and usually the lyrics, she also has a sense of humor with a lot of her songs. Oh, gosh, what's that song? Oh, my, I can't say the title fully because it's, we might get the E, but my Give a Darn's Busted. I like that one.
Oh, yeah.
So she has a lot of humor to her lyrics, kind of like Sabrina Carpenter does today in pop. you can listen to her lyrics, and they're clever and they're funny. And I'm enjoying that right now from Sabrina Carpenter, but maybe we'll talk about that in a future episode. But yeah, so bye-bye, Jody Messina.
Heather.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yeah.
I don't know where we are in the process anymore.
We are on the third
pick.
We're
in round three.
We took a long detour talking about jobs. But
food service.
Little resume action going on there.
Yeah.
Okay. Resume builders.
So my last pick is from 1986. The Pretty in Pink soundtrack. From Orchestral Maneuvers. Yeah, Maneuvers. In the Dark. OMD, If You Leave.
If you leave, don't leave now. Please don't take my heart away. Promise me just one more night. Then we'll go our separate ways. We always had time on our sides. Now it's fading fast. Second, every moment we've got to make it last. I touch you once, I touch you twice. I won't let go at any price. I need you now, like I need you then. You always said we'd still be friends someday.
Okay, so this is really one of the signature songs of the 80s, and it just encapsulates that feeling of that time and those John Hughes movies. And I mean, the mid 80s was a golden time for teen movies, and you had all of the Pretty in Pink, Breakfast Club, St. Elmo's Fire, 16 Candles, all of this. And it's been said that this song made Pretty in Pink, the ending, one of the best moments in cinematic history. So that's a bold statement, perhaps. But actually, Ben doesn't believe it. I'm just telling you what they said on the internet, and the internet never lies. But they actually redid the ending of Pretty in Pink. Originally, she was supposed to end up with Ducky. And they screened it, and everybody hated it. So they had to go back and re-film the ending, which this is the backdrop to all of that. And that's why Andrew McCarthy is wearing that tragic wig. If you notice, it's terrible. But for Gen Xers, this movie is central, like probably one of the top 3 to 5 movies of their youth and teen experience is Pretty in Pink.
Yeah, I mean, so of course now I'm at the end of Gen X. I'm like the very last year of Gen X. But like a lot of those in the 80s, like I really do enjoy, like Breakfast Club. Love Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Pretty in Pink.
Pretty in Pink is definitely geared more toward the girls, though.
Yes.
So is 16 Candles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But.
And this is a very 80s song.
Very. Yes. It's got all of that synth stuff. And I mean, it's almost completely, if not completely, electronic.
Yeah. Would love to see them do this on an Unplugged.
But anyway, it's
is it my turn?
Yeah.
Unless somebody has something else to say about Pretty in Pink.
Doesn't sound like it.
Or Maneuvers in the Dark. Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark.
Maneuvers.
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 All right, so there are not just a great many, what I would call great Southern rock bands. But I would say the Allman Brothers are one of them. Hmm. I have selected Ramblin' Man. Comes off of the album immediately recorded after the death of Dwayne Allman. I can't talk. I almost said Allman.
Allman.
This was lead singer and lead guitarist Dickie Betts on this one. How does it about leaving? It's about leaving a bunch of women everywhere that he goes. Yeah, Beth's like,
I'm sleepy.
I almost, of my favorite Ramblin' Mans, and there are several actually, that are all different songs. Like, this is based off of a 1950s Hank Williams song called Ramblin' Man, but it's not the same song. But my favorite Ramblin' Man is Waylon Jennings. But that's neither here nor there. I figured this one would have the best chance to sneak its way into the top five. But this is obviously, when you start listing, to me, some of the great, like truly great Southern rock anthems, I think this would be on the short list of those songs. Great blend. You can definitely hear the things that make Southern rock, Southern rock. There's definitely that rock and roll component. You can hear those country elements in there, those blues elements in there. But you've got these electric guitars, but they include those country twang elements. And I wonder, I would love to go back and watch them play this live and see if they use a Telecaster, which is the quintessential guitar to create twang. Yeah, this is just about always being on the move, never settling down. There's an acceptance of it. It seems misogynistic in a way, and obviously it sort of is, because you're using these women for a very short period of time and then you're going on about your business. But they also kind of convey a sense of being lonely, and that being the way to connect, you know, because, you know, and it's something that obviously I've never had to deal with, because I've never been a rock and roll star. But you think about most people, not everyone, but most people have a human need for attachment and relationship in order to be fulfilled. Not everybody does, but most people do. And I can imagine that if you're on the road, like, you know, and the Allman Brothers, they had a stretch where they were a monster band and on the road all the time. Well, you're not getting that emotional need of attachment met. And so I wonder how much of these stories that we have about rock stars, you know, and their all the one-night stands, I would love to see the psychology about how much of that is based on just primal drive and they love to have physical encounters, and how much of that is how much of that is really rooted in they're trying to compensate for not having the emotional attachment.
Yeah.
See how deep we're getting here? Yeah. The deep thoughts.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to an interview with Demi Lovato, and she said that's why she turned to drugs, because she would go out and you have all these people like screaming your name and people just falling at your feet or whatever at concerts. And then you immediately walk off stage or you go to your hotel room and you're completely alone. And then, so it's this, like, it's like all and nothing. And that's why I would think a lot of people probably turn to any kind of vice.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's weird. It's weird how like some, there are so many stories about rock and roll, particularly rock and roll stars getting into drug abuse, not just alcohol, but drug abuse. And alcohol, for the most part, seems to be the drug of choice for country stars. But now the outlaw era, the Johnny Cashes and the Waylon Jennings and that bunch, they did some hard, hard stuff for sure. But then there's like these other people that have gone completely the other way. Like, you know, Ted Nugent has been like, as far as what he puts in his body, has been like, the other way around. I'm talking about the stuff he puts in his body has been very clean. He's been very clear about that. Like he doesn't use drugs, no alcohol, doesn't smoke. And he's been very clear. My vice has always been women. That's always been, he's been very, and Gene Simmons the same way. We talked about that during the Kiss episode. So it's weird that how some people feel the holes in their lives.
Stop.
What are you thinking about?
Stop it. Anyway, keep going.
They have these absences in their lives that have to be filled.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like a in Tombstone where Wyatt Earp says, "Why does a man like Johnny Ringo do the things that he does?" And Doc Holliday tells him, "Well, a man like Johnny Ringo's got a great big hole where his heart's supposed to be, and he does all these evil things to try to fill it." And so I just, it's a long way away from rambling, man, but I just wonder how much of the activities of these rock and roll stars, or music stars in general, how much of the trouble that they find themselves getting into, the vices that they have, how much of it is just trying to fill those emotional voids that they don't have because they don't have that emotional attachment of someone in their life. No, I'm giving you wait time.
Okay.
Wait time. But was I the last pick?
You were.
So that's nine. We have nine songs, correct?
Yeah.
And they are?
Ben drafted Silver Wings, Midnight Train to Georgia, and Ramblin' Man. Heather drafted Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, Right Where You Left Me, and If You Leave. And I've drafted Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, Take This Job and Shove It, and Bye Bye.
Okay, so songs that I did not have, or that I had on my list but did not get selected. Going to be some country songs here. Cheyenne by George Strait.
Ooh, yeah, that's
a good one. Which is a great, great, great song. Leave Your Hat On by Joe Cocker. I know, what? You could leave the hat.
That's not on. About leaving. But anyway, you didn't draft it.
I didn't draft it. Dallas by Alan Jackson. Oh, how that I wish Dallas was in Tennessee. If I could move Texas East, then she'd be here with me. Leaving on a Jet Plane. Mm. Little John Denver action. And then finally, She's Leaving Home by the Beatles.
Yeah.
Okay. Beth, what'd you have?
I had that did not get drafted. Leaving on a Jet Plane. Wide Open Spaces by the Chicks. Don't Forget to Remember Me by Carrie Underwood, Leaving Home when After You Graduate. Fancy by Reba. A little prostitute action.
Child prostitute.
That's why it's a prostitute, yeah. Like a tot.
Oh, a prostitute. Tot. I just now caught the tot at the end.
Bye.
Oh, yeah. That is awful.
Well, awfully how did, good
so
song.
So is Human Trafficking.
How? Yeah. How did country...
Is that Human Trafficking, really? She was of age.
How? She was in school.
You can still be trafficked.
She
said
it was the summer I turned 18. She was an adult. And she was not, I mean, she seemed to have autonomy over.
How does country get away with this?
Because people think that, like, if you put the same con, and I have, this is.
Like That Summer by Garth Brooks?
The double, that plays differently now with all the accusations.
Sure does.
He has accusations?
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
With children?
Mm-mm. No.
No.
But with somebody who worked for him.
We'll talk about it all.
Anyway, it's bad. What were we doing?
Well, Garth Brooks wouldn't have an affair.
But yeah, okay, so that's a double standard in this world that gets on my nerves very much, is that people...
He should have responded to a country song.
The same people, these backwoods people who only listen to Kid Rock and Morgan Wallen, would listen to a rap song and be like, this is terrible what these people put in music these days, and then go listen to your people saying a lot of the same stuff, but just because... It's not in a different genre than you listen to. Education is important. Anyway, so I had Bye 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 by NSYNC, and then also Leave Get Out by the one and only JoJo.
All right. Heather? So. Heather. Yeah, it's Heather.
Wow.
Yeah. Still over here. Leaving Las Vegas by Sheryl Crow.
Leaving Las Vegas.
No. Lesson in Leaving.
Mm-hmm.
By Jody Messina. Lucille.
You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille.
Yeah. And 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover by Paul Simon.
Oh.
Just hopping back, Jack, something.
Did you
make
guys,
new plans,
Dan. Did you guys watch the Kenny Rogers deal?
The Kenny Rogers deal.
It was like a documentary on his life. I think it was his biography deal. I did not know that he and Lionel Richie were such good friends.
I didn't either.
He wrote Lady. Lionel Richie wrote Lady.
I can hear that.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, they were super good friends. Wow.
I always wondered how he got on the USA for Africa deal, and now we know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we've got 9 songs, and we are going to go from 9 to 5.
Working 9 to 5.
Okay. So I wonder how much. The only song that I have on my list that was selected by one of you two that I did not select is Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You by Led Zeppelin. So other than that, there's no other crossover for me.
Must be number one then.
Yes, it was my number one.
It was your number one,
It too? Was my number one.
Mm.
I didn't get it because I drafted third.
So apparently that one's moving over.
Probably.
Is there any other crossover? Heather, did you have crossover?
Originally, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road was my number 3.
Oh.
I feel like that one's going to go over then for sure.
Great. I did not have any crossover.
It was a really long, big list.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm.
So now it's a street fight. Buckle in.
Oh, my God.
All right. Is there anything that y'all want to just eliminate? Like, you just cannot foresee this song making it over? One you want to cut? Deuces. Beth, if you could cut one song, what would it be?
If You Leave. Because I haven't left yet.
Ooh,
If You Leave.
That's a good point. It may not be about leaving. It's about the potentiality of leaving.
Potentiality?
The potential of leaving. The potential for leaving exists. It may not be about actual leaving. Which would be like virtual leaves on the tree.
Mm.
And remember, this is all about leaves.
Virtual leaves?
Virtual leaves on the tree.
Virtual leaves.
Yeah, they don't exist, do they? Then they wouldn't be virtual. They'd be real leaves.
Okay.
Heather, if you could eliminate one song.
What's left?
All of them.
So, yeah. Silver Wings, Midnight Train, Ramblin' Man, Right Where You Left Me, If You Leave, Take This Job and Shove It, and Bye Bye.
Probably Bye Bye because I don't know that song.
You were sitting there singing it. Why are you a liar?
Why are you a liar?
I'm surprised you didn't pick Bye Bye Bye.
I put it down lower. Yeah.
I figured that would have been right in your wheelhouse.
No, Jody Messina. I was thinking, never mind. Oh, yeah. Silver Wings.
Okay. Are we cutting the ones that somebody picks? Is that just like a hardcore cut?
Well, not now.
I know that one the least.
Me too.
But what difference does that make? That's not the rules. I don't know the song very well. I'm going to have to go.
Well, I like the other ones.
Maybe you haven't listened to mine enough.
Well,
pause it so she can go listen to this song.
Oh,
40,
my God.
45 more
we'll
times.
We'll be right back.
And we're back.
What would you cut?
Me? Mm-hmm. What would I cut? If You Leave.
Well, there you go.
Wah, wah. Okay. If you could move one song over, Beth, that's not yours, what would it be?
Oh, that's not mine. Ask somebody else first. I have two that I'm toying between.
Okay. Heather, if you could move one over that's not yours, what would it be?
Probably Midnight Train to Georgia.
Okay. Beth?
You go first.
I would... For me, it would be between either Right Where You Left Me or Take This Job and Shove It. It would be between those two. And if you'd ask me before, I would have said, like before I listened to all these and were thinking about it, I would have said Take This Job and Shove It. But under the, now that I've had a chance to really, because I don't, you know, this may surprise you. I don't listen to Taylor Swift a whole lot.
Yeah.
But given a chance to listen to this one once we got the big list and thinking about it within the context of the theme of the show, the episode, that fits really well. So it would be one of those two. Have you picked one yet?
I think... I like Ramblin' Man the best, I think.
So it doesn't matter which one I pick. It's not going to be two of the same one. Okay. I would probably pick Right Where You Left Me right now as the one that I would push over. Okay. Let me ask you this. Is there any way that you would support Silver Wings in the top five?
No, probably not.
Okay. And you're not either. So we can eliminate Silver Wings.
Okay.
Which is awful that we just eliminated the Hag. Just, you know, God bless his soul. We have how many options remaining?
Five, and we have three spots.
So we got to eliminate two more.
I mean, I don't think Bye Bye is going to be in the conversation. Probably not.
I like the song, but I think that there are probably going to be more than
three songs ahead of it. No, you're not more than three songs, but I think there'll be three songs ahead
of it. I would think so, too. Well, based on the conversation we just had, there are. So one, two, three, four. We just have to cut one more.
So we have to cut either Midnight Train, Right Where You Left Me, Take This Job and Shove It, or Ramblin' Man. One of those has got to go. Beth, which one would you cut? Heather, be thinking.
Yeah. Probably Right Where You Left Me.
Which one would you cut?
This is gonna sound petty because it's Take This Job and Shove It.
Here's what I'm willing to do. I need y'all to understand that I added additional constraints to what I was doing when I was making my song list, okay? I wanted it to have the word leave in it or left or whatever. So there may be some songs that I intentionally, under the way that the rules actually were, like, I'll take Ramblin' Man out and we can put the other three in. Because I really like the other options. That would put Right Where You Left Me, Put This Job and Shove It, and what's the other one?
Midnight Train.
Midnight Train.
Okay.
So I'll take mine out and we could put those three in.
Okay.
Even though I really do like Ramblin' Man.
Interesting. All right. Now we have to rank them. So we have... Sorry, these are the longest titles ever. And I have to write them all down. Okay, so Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, Midnight Train to Georgia, Right Where You Left Me, and Take This Job and Shove It. So I think we could rank the top two. Well, I guess they'll probably be the same way there, because you both had Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You at number one.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So those top two are probably going to be the top two, right?
Yeah.
In that order. Now, the other ones are... going to be more difficult because we each have one. Mm-hmm. So, any ideas?
I think it ought to go in the order that we drafted round two. Midnight Train, Right Where You Left Me, Take This Job and Shove It. That would be my vote. I think we had an excellent round, too.
Okay. I don't care.
I'm fine with that.
It works.
Because I know that I won't be able to bump Right Where You Left Me up anymore, I don't think.
Well, that was an uneventful ranking, but we did it. All right. So our final ranking of best songs about leaving for fall leaves are Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, Midnight Train to Georgia, Right Where You Left Me, and Take This Job and Shove It.
All right. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And we're now going to leave you. So just a reminder that find us on all the social media outlets, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. We're really hard to find on YouTube, but we are, in fact, there. Want to thank everybody for listening. Like, share, leave a comment. If you have a platform that allows you to leave a rating, do us a favor and give us as many stars as you can. Say something nice. We appreciate you. Don't forget to comment. So you might be on the comment callback. What are we calling it?
Comment call out. We're not sure yet, but we might talk about you.
Thanks.
We'll be back with you in 2 weeks.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
Thanks for joining us on the Music List podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode.
She almost had it.